Claire Parker, Real Five. You were saying when you went back to Hungary, Claire, that you were put in this hospital.
Yeah.
And now, was there any organisation in Hungary to care for someone like you?
Yes. They called the joint, but I think this is each letter means something. I think it's the American Jewish. Money collected up for setting up kitchens.
How do you spell that word? Joint?
Yeah, J-O-N-T-S.
Uh-huh.
Or just T, I'm not sure. This S I think better leave it out. I don't think it belongs. Joint. I think it was an American money collection, send it to Central Europe for these survivors who haven't got no homes and nothing, to set up homes for the younger generation and food for everybody, you know, sort of kitchens where once a day was a decent meal. Every day of the week, a good meal, you know, proper food. And I can't remember what, I was sure it was not 3-course meal, but maybe 2-course, you know, like soup and a main meal. And places where these young people can stay as a hostel sort, and we go to school from there and then work.
How easy was it to catch up with your education?
No, I wasn't. In Hungary, I couldn't possibly, because course was bombed down and accommodations was very bad because, as you know, I mean, to get the fresh out the Germans from Hungary, it had to be bombed, the country, because they was all over in Hungary. So I wasn't in Hungary. I mean, I don't know what it was going on, but it was plenty of bombing was going on in Hungary. And then I went back. It's an awful lot of rubble. And private houses which was open was set up for studying. And so anyway, I went to work. As usual, I used to stay older. And in Hungary, 14 used to be the end of the school study. And they start becoming learners. So I went to a factory which was making various objects and had to wrap it up, you know, small objects. Frames, you know, like photo frames and all sorts of nonsense. And I don't know, we didn't know what it is, but each item had to wrap up. And then had to put them in boxes, in a dozen, six this way and six that way. And then just had to leave it to the rest for people who is the we'll finish it off, you know, wrap it up and whatever. I didn't see any what happened because when it would be in a large number of boxes filled, it was taken out to the other room. So I was working, and in the evenings I was going to a house where was children under 14 studying. So in that place I had to say I'm not 14 yet, but at work I didn't, but I couldn't really show my birth certificate. I even, to the present day, I don't have the real birth certificate, but I used to have before the war. And that time, I wasn't asked for a birth certificate, so I never bothered to get one. So, well, you just said how old you are, they have just accepted, you know. And I was working and eventually, I went to a dressmaking factory, and I met another boy who was also a Jewish boy. He came from Belgium. I don't know what happened to him. We didn't ask each other, and we were alone. And he got married, and he went to the army, and he got accommodation. So.
How easy do you think it was to adapt to a sort of normal lifestyle after what you'd been through?
it wasn't any more normal lifestyle. We never, nobody wanted to talk about what happened before. The Hungarians themselves didn't want to, you know, it's actually like this. It's from the day the war ended. Nobody wanted to know. So, you never talked about it. And I didn't talk about it. I'm really recently started talking about it since, what can I say? 1984, 1985, when I started talk about it if somebody wanted to know it. But I recognized a lot of people didn't want me to talk, so I didn't. The first time I started talking about it when I divorced from my second husband, Mr. Parker, and I was under very poor financial condition with the two children. And the social worker said, you should have some compensation from the German government, because as far as I know, they signed an agreement in the United Nations, from the beginning of the United Nations office establishment, that they were going to pay compensation for everybody who is a survivor. And I know people who did have compensation, which is give them a chance to make a life for themselves with a good sum of money, which allowed them to make a start in their life. So I'm going to make some investigation. That was, I heard that 1969, when we lived in Dorking until then, my ex-husband had a job there. He came to, we went to live in Birmingham. And I start hear what was going on, and I hadn't heard about it. Because if somebody wasn't among kind of people who know about it, and it's a Jewish Chronicle, which is a Jewish newspaper once a week. It's giving information for people. And my life wasn't like that. I was living with an Englishman, and I didn't want him to carry on with his religious existence, and I wasn't doing anything about my religious existence, so we had lived without religion existing in our life. And so I knew nothing about it. But I did hear once a week the news, if not more, because I used to be doing some sewing for old expenses, because he had not very high wages as a shoe shop manager, but he wasn't earning much. And I was doing sewing repairs, so I only could hear the news on the radio. And I quite honestly tell you, this social worker told me, 1963, that was a date given for survivors to fill forms and go, you know, send it, and they were going to have compensation. Now, 1963, I had two operations. The one of those times when I hadn't heard the news must be when I was in the hospital, or when he was changed address. So that very one occasion when he was really read up in the news, which I later find from the BBC, they sent me a text, which one was one sentence, which it says, now the German government will pay compensation. And if you haven't heard this one occasion, you lost it, because it was open for 5 years to fill the form. But if, during the 5 years, if they never read it up once again, and there was no way, I had no television, it was too poor. It was working all the time. My ex-husband was a relief shoe shop manager, so he ran one shop and kept on going to others as well. And I was doing sewing repairs, I had two young children, I had no time for television. So I was totally relying on the news on the radio. Now, It's nearly 50 years since the marriage. It's 1994 December. Next year is 1995, when the war ended. And they still don't pay compensation. And this social worker in 1984 find me a solicitor to put all my documents together and send it to the German office. Now, the solicitor sent it in 1986, all my documents and the letter. I'm on the very low income, and what happened to me, there is the records document show, I'm not saying that, this is the proof, I should be given a compensation to make my life for myself. 4 years later, 1990, they answered me, which I will show you in a minute, which is say, they have so many people who asked for compensation who haven't had any, and eventually they will pay, but that will be in a pension form when people are 60 and then 65, we're going to come in a pension form, and please refrain from writing to this office, because when the time comes, we'll inform you. So this language, you know, this, don't disturb us. And it's not very nice. And now it's nearly 9 years later, I still haven't got anything. This is 9 years later since they got my documents and everything. They kept it, don't refuse to pay me. But then, I will show you in a minute the letter. And I'm on income support. And if they were going to pay as a pension form, it means my pension instead of will come from England, will come from Germany. So my life financially won't be no way different. So what, whoever is discussed this compensation payment in behalf of people like me should have asked us what's the situation, and maybe the German government will say, because they know very well what the law is here, we don't find any reason to pay these people, because this is going to go, instead of our government to these people, it goes to the British government. So what about if they keep stretch the length of time when they pay, until hopefully everybody dead? Because after 50 years, I'm the youngest survivor. I'm 62 now, 63 to 3 weeks time. 3 weeks time, I'm going to be 63, and I'm the youngest survivor. Now, they are going to wait and wait, and slowly we'll start paying. I mean, meantime, an awful lot of people died already. And there'll be an awful lot of people will be dead by the time they will want to pay. But their goodwill is there, but the person is dead.
How about your parents' property?
No, we had nothing. We had this flat where we lived. And I don't know whether it was our possession or was rented. And the workroom next to it, was it ours or was rented? I have no idea, because as you say, children doesn't ask questions. They're not interested. So I wouldn't know. It might be what belonged to my father. Might be not. I don't know. Maybe the Hungarian government will say no, because I can't prove it, because I really can't. And my father had a car which those days, 1943 when they taken it away, those days to have a nice car, I don't know what make was, but you remember old cars, those grey and black, those big square-shaped sort of cars. They were pretty expensive, I'm quite sure, because it wasn't that many paying for habit. And as he was working 7 days a week, he wasn't religious, he was worked 7 days a week all his young life till he was taken, he was worked from the age of 13. Whatever he was made, it was taken away. And I remember my mother had real fur coats too. I had real fur coats when I was a child. Because those days in Hungary, well, it's not such a thing as not a real fur. It had to be real. And the winter is very cold. So people had either fur lining for men or fur coat, fur on the outside. And again, it's not straight. And fur mocks. Matching, and quite a lot of jewellery. And I remember real leather handbags matching shoes. And for me as well, I remember that patterny material, crocodile skin shoes and handbag, things like that. Because my father worked ever so hard all those years since the age of 13, and he was, he born 1901, so he was 42, 43. So he most likely made enough money to have these luxuries and furniture.
Did you ever find out what happened to your father?
No. I know he went to Bergen-Belsen because somebody told me. Yeah. And my grandparents' parents. And I don't know what happened to my grandmother and my grandfather on mother's side. My grandmother and me and my mother, we have been together right to the gate of Auschwitz. I don't know what happened to their grandfather and what happened to her.
So how many people survived from your family?
It's only me. It's possible some of my cousins, I'm trying so hard, I have been contacted so many organizations, the Red Cross, I even still going on, all sorts of organizations which is dealing with searching, but you see, it's very difficult because if women, grown-ups, got married, their name is changed. And also, whatever country people go to, they try to make their name sound easier to pronounce it in that country. Now, my first name is Claire in England, and I always use it Claire ever since I'm here, because that's the way everybody called me from the day I arrived to England. That was 1957. Now, to call myself in Hungary, really called Klari. Who is going to? It's not easy to translate it, so I just dropped it. And when I married again with my second husband, and his name is Parker, so I call myself Claire Parker, and everybody shocked who haven't seen me before when I say my name Claire Parker, because they recognize. With the accent I speak with, I cannot, you see, it's such a perfect English name. So I usually say to people, yes, this is my ex-husband's name, Parker. I wasn't born with this name. You know, I have to mention it because otherwise people think, oh, well, this can't be right, you know.
Yes. Do you find, since the war, that you've been sensitive at all about being Jewish?
Not now. Somehow or other, since I started really openly saying it, I'm not going around and say, look, I'm Jewish. I'm not going around like this. But if somebody asked me, I will say yes. But it's really, I think it's only very recently. It's only very recently happening. I really quite honestly say, I thought, I have all the disadvantage if I say I am. So I used to be saying, I came from a communist country that ever don't practice religion. So I'm an atheist, and that's what I am. I don't belong to no religion. And of course, it's very strange to say, because I do belong to the, I'm 100% Jewish, but in my head, I interpret being Jewish as being I am one of those people is from a dispersed nation, which is called Israel, and we are not a religion as such. We are a nation which has been, not the Roman sinning and first of, it would be there still. And the nation wasn't as tiny as in 1994. So all these many Jews all over the world, they all come from that country. So their tradition is really, is the way of life they had when they left, when they carry on. You see, I mean, this is not a religion as such, because really, whatever they're talking about, it really happened, you know. They do have this mysterious unexplanation miracle, like this Hanukkah, when the oil was enough for one day, and it's burned till 8 days. Where is the miracle would have been happened to us when we were murdered everywhere? Because look at in Spain, you see, when the Russia and the pogroms, why those miracles haven't been imposed on us? Why actually the candles to be burned, the oil burned? I mean, we could do without that oil burning. How about save us? You see, I say these miracles are no use. So I'm very sorry, I just don't take any of this, you know. The tradition not to eat various things, I reckon because the doctor's knowledge all those years back was very, very limited. And they discovered in a hot country, if they make the food in that careful manner, like don't mix in, like don't eat meaty and milky products in a very close time. That saved them their tummy work better. This isn't simply saving the health, you know, or have to wash them before you eat. You have to wash your hand before you eat if you don't want to take germs in you, especially those ancient times when wasn't that easy. So they put it into the religion, so try to keep people as healthy as possible. I think the whole of tradition is, the whole of religion is, goes by the food, because to keep themselves healthy is the whole of the religious things. It goes by food preparation and the food what they eat. And the matzah too, this is a commemorating when they went from drought to Egypt and they came out of Egypt and they came without preparing themselves for the journey, and the dough, the bread what they made is baked on their back because Egypt is even hotter than Israel, you know. I mean, Egypt is much hotter, it's far more south, isn't it? So this matzah to eat and that date, you know, it's just commemoration. The whole tradition is goes around with food, isn't it? So
it's interesting that you went back to Hungary and you went to, or what developed into, a communist society.
Yeah.
Yes, how what was that like living?
I didn't find it too bad, because the one thing was important. That was the best time in Hungary than before the war. This was a peaceful time. And because the country was so bombed down and everything, everybody was pretty difficult to meet financially and accommodation-wise, so I wasn't really different. The communist idea, everybody equal, is mean religion is not asking questions, and that was just after the war, it was just so good cloak to have around me, you know what I mean? So if I don't want to say what religion I am, I don't have to say it. I can say, I have no religion, I'm a communist, believing communism. But of course, everybody have a religion. Because the communist idea is a political matter. It's nothing to do with religion. Because you can be a communist and be any religion. But this was a good, after the war, a good way, I don't have to say I'm Jewish. And it stayed with me to be afraid to say that I'm Jewish up to recent years. Actually, my daughter in Birmingham, we lived very near to a Jewish school, I was taking her to the Jewish school. And the children was wearing the Star of David in all certain sizes, you know. And she wanted to have one. So I bought her a little silver chain. And I used to say to her, don't wear it anywhere else. You only wear it when you go to the school, something, arrangement, you know, like some play goes on or something. So you wear that only. Don't wear it on the buses and all over the place. And you see, this poor child, she was not start age before 5 years old. She didn't understand why, well, I didn't know it, you know, what's the problem? So she didn't understand why. So find it, I don't want her to wear it. So finally she got one and I don't want her to wear it. I couldn't even mention the Lord, I couldn't explain what happened to me, and I feel if somebody wearing a Star of David, it might be a danger. You had that sense in me only recently. I don't feel that. I still don't say.
Yeah. Yes, you were saying, how Claire, that you now speak more openly about your experiences. Mm-hmm. Would this be related to this organisation you were telling me about? The Holocaust Centre, is it?
Yes, Survivor Centre. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Could you tell me about that?
Yes, it started off as just people get together if they want to discuss it, you know, what happened to them. And it was a very slow, it wasn't in this place where they are now. People really had exactly the same feeling like I have. Didn't want to talk about it. And didn't want to be separate as a group because the feeling of being identified, you know. But it's slowly, I think as people get older and their children start getting older and find it would be better for everybody if they would be together. So finally, this building where we are now, I don't know if it's been rented or bought, I don't know. But this is two big rooms, but it can be made to be one and have a kitchen where making teas and, you know, after we are together, we're having cakes and it's not make it there, but it's a kitchen where the cups and saucers can be washed up and kept in the plates, you know. And their office, which is making the programs, what happened. And it's getting more and more people coming into it. And that's why I came from Birmingham, because I want to keep all among them. And so I discovered there is a group of people who were hidden children, who was